Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the celebration today that we have of these children coming out here to Good Shepherd Baptist Church with their parents, their grandparents, guardians, folks who have said amen to what we're teaching over at Sally Moore Elementary. Thank you for that, Lord. We don't take that lightly. And dear Heavenly Father, as we come to the portion of our service where we bring forth the bread of life, Lord, the preached word of God, let us settle our minds in, Lord. Let us focus our hearts on that which you would have us to know. And with all that's within me, with all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up, that someone might say, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. If y'all would be so kind as to turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel, and we read and we teach out of the King James Bible, to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And today we're going to be talking about giving thanks in times of trouble. We're coming up on Thanksgiving, and which is a traditional holiday. Not only is it celebrated in America, but it's celebrated all over the world in various fashions. But it's special to us here in our Christian nation, our nation which was founded on Christianity. Now, there's a lot of people who would tell you otherwise. In fact, there are people who would say to you, well, this is a post-Christian era. Well, you can't be a post-Christian era without being a pre-Christian nation. So the principles are set. They're sound. Have we lived it out the way it's supposed to be all the time? Nah. But that doesn't change the fact that God began a great work in this nation, and he continues to work here. For that, I'm very thankful for being here. But there are difficult times coming. These are trying times even now as we speak. And people say, but Pastor, you don't understand the economy. You know, I've been looking for a job for a year, two, three. Some folks, I got a job, but I got to work two or three of them to make ends meet. I got a job, and one brother, I just thought about him, one brother, he's got to pretty much reside in another state so he can make a decent living for his family. Things are difficult. Things are difficult for a lot of people. And there's people who have sickness in their bodies and sickness in their minds and depression. We are the most pill-popping nation on the face of the planet. So something's amiss within the human psyche. Something is out of kilter. But even in the midst of all this, I want you to go to the Word of God. And I want you to be encouraged with what the Bible says, because the Bible says to us in Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All things? The book of James says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. I'm supposed to count money problems, marriage problems, death, sickness. I'm supposed to give thanks. I'm supposed to be able to go, okay, God. Well, I don't know about y'all, but for me, that can get difficult at times. So I have to go to the Word of God because I want to see how was it worked out, how was it played out by regular, everyday folk. And then I can get some encouragement, because the Bible tells you, God says, I give you the entire Old Testament so that you might be able to see how the people did what they did then, and it will help you through now, because there's nothing worse than thinking nobody knows the sorrow I'm dealing with. Nobody's ever had it this tough like me. But I want you to know the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And I'm going to take you back here to the book of Daniel, and I'm going to show you some things in the Word of God that my prayer is it will be an encouragement to you in the midst of the difficult times. Because when money's rolling, jobs are plenty, cars are new, house, everything's working,
It ain't hard to be thankful. It's not hard. But when somebody flips the script, what do you do? The Bible still says, be thankful.
Let's look at this man, Daniel, this prophet, Daniel. Many of us have, we've read about him, we've heard about him. Most of us, when we were kids, one of the first Bible stories we ever heard was Daniel in the lion's den. Amen. Can I get an amen? Daniel in the lion's den. Amen. Amen. And it's not a story, by the way. It's an account. It's not a fairy tale. This is what took place. But the parts that we don't understand until we get a little bit older, when Daniel chapter 6, the parts we don't understand until we get a little bit older is that Daniel was taken into captivity somewhere around age 16 as a teenager. And we don't understand when we get that Bible story as children that when somebody takes you into captivity, they're dragging you out of your home. And they're taking you to a country where you don't know anybody, you don't know the language, you don't know anything. And what you don't learn in that story, it's a children's story, is where's his parents? They were probably killed, along with a lot of other people. See, Daniel's hard times just began. His troubled times just begin when he was taken into captivity at age 16. And then for the next 66 years, he served under two different kings. He served under Nebuchadnezzar and he served under Belshazzar. And these were not your everyday nice guys. In fact, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar, it was said of Nebuchadnezzar, he was the greatest king and the most powerful king who ever lived. Nebuchadnezzar could boldly say, who I say lives, they live. Who I say die, they die. And there's no questioning his authority. Daniel had to live under that climate. And not only did he live under that climate, he worked for the government, y'all. Because they appointed him over the wise man, because they saw this special spirit in him, and they appointed him the wise man over all the wise men in the government. I got to tell you, I had an intense fellowship. Some people call them arguments. I had an intense fellowship with a brother at one of the churches that I served. And he was going on and on and on about, you can't be an honest Christian and work in the government. You got to be a crook, a liar, a thief. Now, he may be talking correct about most of them. I ain't going to argue with him. But you can't paint the whole group with that brush. You can't do that. Because if that was the case, if you think this nation is bad now, we'd be in real trouble. And so we're talking back and forth, and he's just doing it. Well, see, I had just finished talking to his son maybe about a month or so prior, and his son was telling me how he was going to go into politics. So I just brought up to the father, that means your son's a lying, thief, and crook too. He got upset. I don't know why. But Daniel was in the field of politics, y'all, where he had to be under a man who said, what I say goes, or what I say don't go, don't go. How is a Christian, how is a God-fearing Jewish man supposed to operate in that kind of environment? And then to top it all off, the Babylonians get defeated, and now Daniel, he's under a new ruler, King Darius, the king of the Medes and the Persians, who were just as ruthless as the Babylonians. By the way, Medo-Persian, which that's the nation that you read about here, that's modern-day Iran. See, the Bible takes you, the Bible doesn't make up places. The Bible tells you about places where they are and how they came into being. So Medes and Persians, you're talking about what is the land of what is modern-day Iran. Iran used to be known as Persia. So, now Daniel is under the Medes and the Persian, and he's under Darius. And the king decides that he's going to give Daniel a high position in the government. Let's go to our scripture. Let's get a little background, and then I want you to keep your Bibles open as we kind of work our way through it pretty briefly. Excuse me. Starting in Daniel chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 4, go from 4 to 13. We're going to key in on verse 10, but we'll have to kind of go through the whole narrative, which is entire chapter 6. We'll go through the entire narrative, but we're going to just read these verses from 4 to 13. And it reads, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Keep that in mind, that little phrase, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. "Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king according to the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true," here's that phrase again, "according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. You see there in verse 10, in the B portion of verse 10, it says that Daniel prayed and gave thanks before his God. We're going to talk about giving thanks in times of trouble. Here Daniel is. He's up in his 80s. He's somewhere at 80 plus years old. I'm thinking I'm wanting to retire by now. But Daniel's working. He's serving his nation. The new king comes in. The new king Darius comes in. And the new king Darius, he sets up a government. And he wants Daniel to be the top man. He has three presidents or three overseers. And he wants Daniel, this Jewish man, this Jewish captive, he wants Daniel to oversee everything in his kingdom. Starting in chapter 6, verse 1, that's where you just come on down, work down with me. Through verse 1, he tells you how he's going to set up the government. And then in verse 3, he says, "Then this Daniel," talking about this Daniel, "was preferred above all the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit, because an excellent spirit was in him. The king thought to set him over the whole realm. I got a question for you. This king just came in on the scene. He's looking at all the men and the women and everybody who's in authority, and he's trying to see, who can I get to keep things moving? Who can I get to keep some order, to keep some structure? And the Bible says that he doesn't pick one of his comrades. The Bible says he looks at this Daniel. He prefers this Daniel because he sees something special in Daniel. He sees an honest man in Daniel. He sees a righteous spirit in Daniel. Question for you. I ask myself this too. On your job, on my job, does anybody know you're a Christian? Because I want you to know, Daniel's getting ready to go on trial for serving God. See, and from this lesson, I want you to think this through. I want you to say to yourself, does anybody know where I work in the circle that I travel? Does anybody know that I serve Jesus Christ? Or are you an undercover Christian? If you're undercover, stay deep. Don't let nobody know. This king, Darius, just comes into this nation. Shortly after he gets there, he finds out this man's got a reputation. This man's got a reputation for honesty. This man's got a reputation for integrity. How many times have you heard, and it's a lie, but I'll just say it. Well, I like Christ. I just don't like Christians. I don't want to go to church because all them hypocrites over there. Come on, we got room for one more. You undercover. Come on, be undercover with us. Something about you, something about us, where we belong to Jesus Christ, there's got to be a difference in how we present ourselves. And it's not a fake difference. It's not something you kind of try to work up. It's just who you are and what you are. Character, the best definition I ever heard of character is who you are when nobody else is around. Because nobody knows you like you. Daniel, Darius came in and he says, that's the man I want. And I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to make him over everybody. And we're talking about verses 1 through 17. We're talking about plotting the demise of Daniel. Verses 1 through 17, plotting the demise of Daniel. He saw this excellent spirit in Daniel, and he sought to put him over the whole realm. And guess what happened? Jealousy set in. Oh, my, what a surprise. As soon as the king decided he wanted to elevate Daniel, all the other guys, who they had been given a nice position as well, they were going to be overseers as well. But for some reason, they couldn't stand to have Daniel over them. It's kind of like, I don't know if there's any truck drivers in here, but I've made this observation. Do you realize that people do not like to drive behind an 18-wheeler? Even if they can only get one car in front of that 18-wheeler, they got to do it. If they got to kill you to get there, they're going to do it. Why? You can't go any faster than anybody. You're right here. Why do you got to be one more ahead? These guys had they all had good positions. But covetousness stepped in. And then they said, well, we don't want him up there. We don't want that. So we got to get rid of Daniel. We got to plot and scheme to get rid of Daniel. So in verse 5, it says, and these men, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They plotted and they planned. They said, we got to find out, where can we find it? Can we find him stealing money? Yeah, let's find him stealing money. Well, now that one, okay, maybe he's flirting too much with women. No, that one won't work either. He's not concerned with that. Maybe he's lying about the, maybe he's checking out of work early. Yeah, maybe that's what. And they all of them get together and say, see, because they all know him. And they all say, can't find nothing. can't find nothing against this man. There's only one thing they can charge him with. They said the only thing that we can charge him with is if we can trip him up, it's got to be something to do with serving his God. I want so bad to be able to say that people can't find no fault with me except for serving my God. I want so bad. I can't. You can find so many other things that I'm short on. It ain't even funny. But what a desire. Don't you ever just hunger that people could just say, look at you and say, you know what? If I'm going to find him guilty, the only thing I can find him guilty of is being a faithful servant of God. Don't you want to be charged with that? And don't you want to be found guilty? You don't want to have a hung jury, do you? I don't know. I've been knowing him since we about 20 years old. Joker ain't no good. They said we got to charge him with something, with serving his God. That's the only way that we're going to be able to do this. And so let's all get together. Let's get with the king and let's see what we can conjure up to get rid of this Daniel. In verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish the royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. What they came up with, their test, their way of going to trap Daniel, is here's what we're going to do. We're going to make it against the law. O king, and see what you do is you get the king, you puff him up a little bit. If you want to get people to just come, get on your side, just puff them up a little bit. Tell them how good they look, how handsome they are, how smart they are. Ooh, man, you're so smart. Anyhow, they said, king, here's what we're going to do. We're not doing this for us. We're doing it for you. We want to have a special 30-day holiday to celebrate you being God. That's what he's saying. See, y'all don't. That's what he's saying. He's saying for 30 days, you and you alone are considered God. And if anybody asks a petition or prays to any other God other than you, we're going to throw them into the den of lions. I want you to know in this passage, in this chapter, you have that term den of lions about three or four times in there. And because whenever evil people want to get you off track, they always got to threaten you with something. See, you know how come I know that Jesus is real and that the gospel is true? Because he promises me. He goes, if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. My God, I trust his promises. He says, I'll never leave you. He says, I'll never forsake you. That's why do I love Jesus? Because he loved me first. That's what the Bible says. But these guys, what they did was they went to the king, they puffed him up a little bit, and they said, oh, king, if anybody wants to bow down to anybody but you for the next 30 days, we are going to cast them into the den of lions. Now, it doesn't say into a den of lions, because if it said a den of lions, that means they'd have to kind of get it all together and make a thing for. No, they already have a den of lions waiting on you. This is waiting on you. This is not an idle threat. It's the den of lions, not a den of lions. We don't have to go round them up. We got them waiting on you, and they're hungry. The enemy has always got to generate fear in God's people in order to get them off track. You know, you got so many people in the church concerned and worried about global warming. Oh, we're going to burn up. We're going to run out of food. What are we going to do? It's getting too hot. It's getting too cold. Look outside. You can see global warming. You look out, go outside. You see global warming? You see, they don't call it global warming anymore. They call it climate change. Preacher, you're getting political. I'm just giving you what the book says. See, no, everybody with any kind of sense would say,
global warming. Come on, you've had some of the worst winters in the history of mankind. But if I say climate change, let me see you argue with that one. I don't know about y'all, but I was taught as a little child, there's winter, spring, summer, and fall. The climate changes. That's what it does. Yeah, but pastor, don't you know the polar bears are falling off and they don't have any food to eat? Weren't y'all taught about the ice age? I was grew up in Ohio, so I don't know what they taught here in Texas. Weren't you taught about the ice age? Man, did those SUVs melt that ice age? They melted all the glaciers, didn't they? Oh, there were no SUVs. There were no factories. Well, what happened to the glaciers? That they told you the glaciers covered North America, didn't they tell you that? They tell our kids that. So what happened to them? The climate changed. That's what it does. Amen. That's what the climate does. It changes. But if I can keep you afraid of that, then you can't be giving thanks to my Savior for where you're at right now because you're thinking about where you're headed. You think you're headed to the lion's den, so you're over here storing up tuna fish and generators and all kinds of stuff. No. The enemy always has to give you something to keep your mind off of Jesus. But as you will find out here, Daniel, being a wise, saintly man, he kept his mind focused on the word of God and on what was true with the word of God. These men went to Darius and they said, Darius, we need to come up with this. We have this plan where we want to get rid of, they didn't tell him that they want to get rid of Daniel. What they told him, they said that everybody, you know, we've all agreed. All the true scientists have said, oh, baloney. Daniel wasn't invited to the meeting, y'all. They said, all of us have come to the conclusion that if everybody doesn't bow down to you for these 30 days, then they need to go into the lion's den. Well, Daniel wasn't invited because Daniel was God's servant. So they didn't want to take in God's servant's point of view because God's servant would step in and say that the Bible says as long as there's men on this earth, there will be harvest time, there will be seed time, there will be food, there will be water. God ain't taken by surprise at this, y'all. Understand. Folks got to get your mind off of what you're supposed to be doing for God during troubled times. Verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the decree. He signed the decree because they puffed him up. He signed a decree. It flattered him. So he went ahead and he signed this decree, which according to the law of the Medes and Persians could not ever, ever, ever be altered. So once he made this, once he put this in writing, once he spoke this out, it could not, according to their own laws, it could not be reversed. Now, this is interesting because in the book, in the earlier part of Daniel, where you see Nebuchadnezzar sees the golden idol, the golden image, and the Bible tells you that the golden image, the head of gold, was Nebuchadnezzar. And he says Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest king to ever live. Because Nebuchadnezzar, I told you earlier, Nebuchadnezzar said, who I say lives, who I say dies. That's how it was. But now, according to Daniel's vision, you have a lesser kingdom in the Medes and the Persians. Because now, here the king makes a decree, and he says, I can't change it. Nebuchadnezzar never had that problem. Neb said, I could change my mind in a minute, and it doesn't matter. I can do what I want to do. But here, now you got a king who says, I can put this law into effect, but I can't change it because I'm bound by the law of the Medes and the Persians. Now, why is verse 10 our key verse? Because there's many Christians who are upset about the way that our country is going, about the way our nation is going. And they're thinking, what's going on? Why so much confusion? Why so much lawlessness? And they're getting disturbed, but they're getting shook up by things that they shouldn't be getting shook up about. I told you, Daniel grew up in some very difficult times. We have some hard times, y'all, but let's put things in perspective. If Daniel disagrees or if he does something against the king, he gets thrown in the lion's den. We might who knows? It's not going to be anything like that at this time in our history. But look, verse 10. Verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the king had signed the decree, the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel heard the decree. Daniel heard the threats. Daniel heard the breathing out threatenings. And what did Daniel do? Daniel went right back to his house. Windows open. 3 times a day. And that, when he says aforetime, he did what he always did. He got down on his knees. And he thanked God. Wow. He got down on his knees. Wait a minute, Daniel, you missed the memo. The memo said, if you do this, Daniel, we're going to throw you into the lion's den. You must have missed that memo, Daniel. Now, Daniel understood he served a God who is more powerful than any king, any prince, any kingdom. And it said that he went back to his house and he got down on his knees. It made me ashamed of myself. This man is 80 plus years old. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to find ways not to get down on my knees because it's hard to get back up. But if a man 80 plus years old can dedicate, and look at what he does with his time. He doesn't set his prayer time around his job. He sets his job around his prayer time. Daniel has a set schedule for when he's going to sit down and talk with the Lord. You don't have to have that, y'all. But at some point in time, it's helpful for us to pick a time to say, get up when you get up in the morning. Say, Lord, I'm going to come to you first. Just give him some time. See, because you can't know what's on his mind unless you give him some time. Pick up that book. We teach the kids at Good News Club. We teach them, read your Bible and pray every day. You'll grow, grow, grow. If you don't read your Bible and pray every day, you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. It applies to the kids. It applies to us. And just when you get to thinking, well, I got enough Bible in me. I'm good. I don't need to go to church no more. I'm good for a while. I got all them stories in my head. You know, got them all confused, but I got all them stories in my head. Try not going to your job and see if they'll give you a check and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's what many of us are banking on with the Lord. Well, I walked the aisle at age 13. That's all the Jesus I need. That's all I need. And then on that day, you're going to stand in front of him and you're going to say, hey, I walked the aisle at 13. That's all I need. Nowhere will you hear the word, well done, my good and faithful servant. I pray that at some point in our spiritual growth, at some point in the spiritual growth of everybody in here who names the name of Christ, at some point in our spiritual growth, we would hunger to have the Lord look at us and say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's see what happens here with Daniel. Daniel had prayed, he had given thanks, he had given supplication in verse 11, which means he was asking for guidance and help from the Lord. Even then, he was guilty of breaking the law, y'all. He was guilty of breaking the law. But you got to understand that Peter tells us in the book of Acts, Peter said, look, God has said one thing. Man has said another thing. And Peter says, I'm not going to tell you which one you got to do. What Peter says is, I'm going to tell you we ought to obey God instead of men. Now, you do what you want to do, but Peter said, we ought to obey God instead of men. Daniel, because the Bible says you're supposed to submit to the highest power. There is no power higher than God. Daniel went and prayed because that's what God told him to do. But now the other overseers, they come to Daniel, they come to the king, they say, King, hey, we got him. Bam, we got him. We got this man. We caught him praying during the 30 days that only you are supposed to be prayed to as king. You, not only king, you're supposed to be prayed to as God. We got him. Man, we got him. We got him. You just don't understand. See, some of y'all have been taught that when the rapture comes, those of you who believe in the rapture, I believe in the rapture, or the great disappearance. Some of y'all been taught, y'all seen these pictures of people floating up in the air and everybody... Don't you know people are going to be shouting for joy that you're gone? Don't you know that? Because the Bible says that he that restrains. Let me give you modern day translation for that. He, the party pooper. That's you. That's me. That's what we're supposed to be. The Christians, we are the ones who go to the party and say, y'all, we can't do that. Come on, let's go off to the corner. No, we can't do that. I love talking to these children because right now they still understand. This is right and this is wrong. They don't think in shades of gray. They have to get more educated to think in shades of gray. Well, you know, this is called situational ethics, brother. You know, so, you know, when in Rome, do as they do in Rome. If everybody else is smoking, you smoke. If everybody else is drinking, you drink. No. You got to put something in your children and put something in yourself that says, this is right, this is wrong. And that's just the way it is. They went to the king and said, King, he needs to get thrown in the lion's den. He has disobeyed you. And it's time. Boy, they're so happy. They're so happy. They're getting ready to get rid of Daniel. They are so, so happy. And look at what they do in verse 13. They said, then answered they said to the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. They won't just say that it's a crazy law or they just tried to trap Daniel. They got to make it seem like a sort of personal attack. It's like Daniel is personally attacking the king. Daniel wasn't attacking the king. He wasn't personally attacking the king at all. He just said, King, this law is wrong. We have laws here in the United States that they're just wrong. Some of them are just wrong. Two men marrying each other, that's just wrong. That's just all kinds of wrong. And the word of God says it's wrong. So that's just the way it is, brothers and sisters. The Bible says, for this reason, a man is to leave his father and his mother and cleave to his what? So is there anything left to discuss? So what we do in those situations is we talk to people and we give them the word of God. We don't despise them. We invite them into the church so we can talk to them. Because there's confusion. There's a real God. There's a real devil. And you have to, we as people of the book, we start with the book. God has not redefined marriage, and I don't have the ability or the desire to redefine marriage. And my hope and my prayer is that anybody who names the name of Christ understands that this is what the word of God teaches. So these men are saying, Daniel is despising you, O king. He's disregarding you, O king. So now he's got to go into the den of lions, which is already set there and waiting for him, because there's no statute according to the law of the Medes and the Persians which can be changed. So the Bible tells us, as we move along, we're going to talk about Daniel's deliverance. The plot has thickened. They've gotten everything they desire. And now the king has to follow through, because the king cannot change the law of the Medes and the Persians. And the Bible says that the king, they command that they put Daniel into the lion's den. They take this old man, this 80 plus year old man, and they lower him into the lion's den. But I want y'all to read those following verses. Something special takes place. They lower him down into the lion's den, and then the king takes his signet ring and he seals the stone. And he takes the signet ring of all the other chieftains and captains, and they all put their seal on there. And they put that seal on there because they're saying, this way, nobody, no man can come in here and open this seal, because according to the law of the Medes and Persians, it can't be revoked. They lower Daniel down into the lion's den, and they put the lid on the den. They put a stone, a heavy stone, on top of the lid. But then something peculiar happens, y'all. I kind of think about the thief on the cross, because the thief on the cross started off shouting and cursing at Jesus and, you're just like us, you ain't no good. And then something happened. The Bible doesn't tell you exactly what happened, but something happened where the thief on the cross ended up saying to Jesus, he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't explain to me what happens. But when I look here and I see when they put Daniel down into the lion's den, and I see the king, the person who was responsible for putting him down in the den, the king leans over to the den and he says, Daniel, the God that you serve, he'll get you out of here. Whoa, the king, the one who put him into the pit. What happened? The king said, Daniel, don't worry. The God that you serve. Listen, y'all. This key word. This is for all God's folks, all those who. He said, the God that you serve continually. He didn't say the God that you think about every now and again. He didn't say the God that you come in, you give him a tip, then you walk out the door and you go live any kind of way you want to live. He didn't say that God. He said, if you don't know him as the God that you serve continually, then nobody can give you this kind of assurance. The king says, Daniel, the God that you serve continually, he will deliver you. Daniel's deliverance. In verse 17, he talks about how they put that stone on. I think about the thief on the cross, and I'm thinking about, you don't hear anything about Daniel screaming, kicking, hollering, yelling. Don't put me in the ditch. Don't put me. You don't hear it. You don't see anything about that. You don't see it. In fact, when the enemy come at you like a flood, there's some other incidences in Acts 12 and 4. You don't have to turn there. You mark it. In Acts 12 and 4, Peter had been preaching the gospel, and they had told him he could preach, but they said, you can't preach in this name. And Peter had continued to preach the gospel, and they threw Peter in jail. And look what the heathen does when they really think they got you, when they really think they put you. They said that they put 16 guards on Peter, 16 guards on Peter. And they said that the people outside prayed for Peter, and Peter was praying, and everything was going. And they, boy, we got it. It's just like when the rapture comes, I'm telling you. They said, we got it. And look at what happened. When troubled times come, saints, you got to know how to respond according to Scripture. Look at what Peter does. First they pray, then he goes to sleep. The king couldn't sleep all night long, because he was so concerned about Daniel. Peter was asleep. The Bible tells you in Acts chapter 16, verse 23, it says that the enemy, they grabbed Paul and Silas. They They grabbed Paul and Silas and they threw them in jail. And not only did they throw them in jail, they put stocks on their feet and on their hands because they want to make sure they can't get out. We got them Christians now, boy. We got them. We got them bottled up. We got them. We got them. We got them. And so what did Paul and Silas do? Did they start screaming, hollering, kicking and starting to protest? No. What they did was they start singing. And they start praising. And they start thanking God in all situations. We all got some stuff going on in our lives, y'all. But I'm telling you, the way to defeat it, the way to get through it, is you got to start right here, right now, thanking God, number one, that you got breath. Thank Him. Praise Him. Start singing His songs. And look what happened with Paul and Silas. Peter's over here sleeping in his cell. Paul and Silas, they're sitting there, they're singing, they're having a hallelujah good time. And all of a sudden, an earthquake comes and pops open the door, takes off the shackles, takes off the chains, and they sat there. They sat there. And the reason that they continued to serve God the way they were serving God, the reason that you and I are supposed to give thanks even in the midst of our bad situations, which are truly, truly bad situations, is because somebody over here don't know Jesus. It's not for you that you keep praising and thanking and praise, lifting up the name of God. It's because you got a brother, you got a sister, you got a homosexual nephew, you got a homosexual son, you got a homosexual daughter. You got somebody who don't know Jesus and they need to see something in you. They need to see you take a stand on the word of God instead of being like a willow tree going back and forth and back and forth. They need to understand what's right. They need to understand what's right and what's wrong. And that's why God lets us go into these situations. I'm going to show you one of the greatest escape artists of all times. When they put Jesus in the tomb. They put Jesus in the tomb. And what did they say? They said, put your seal. That was Matthew 27. I believe it is Matthew 27, 66. And they took the king. They came to say, King, if he gets up out of here, it's going to be worse than it ever was before. You got to put the seal. You got to put the stone in front of it. You got to put that seal up in front of it. So he did. They thought sure they had him, y'all. They thought sure they had my Savior. But the reason that I can give thanks, the reason that you can give thanks in all things, is because we serve a Savior who has overcome the world. Yes, you have difficult times. Yes, we have money problems. Yes, we have depression. Yes, we got all kinds of things going on. But we serve a Savior who has overcome the world. Everything I'm dealing with today is in this world. And my Savior has overcome this world. Because once they sealed him up and they sealed up that stone, 3 days later, he got up out the ground, y'all, with all power and all glory in his hands. Let's finish up on Daniel. That next morning after they threw him into the lion's den, the king had told him that his God would save him. The Bible says that the king couldn't sleep that night. The king was so nervous and so distraught. And it says first thing in the morning, the king ran to the lion's den. And when he got there, he said, I got to read this because this is good. Because I don't want you to miss it. It says, verse 20, chapter 6, verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? He was expecting an answer, y'all. He said, Daniel, is he able? Because what does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say? They said, O king, we don't know what our God, I don't know what God's going to do in your life. I don't know what he's going to do in mine, but I know he's able. I know whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, I know he's able. The boss is driving you crazy. I know he's able. Your husband ain't treating you the way he's supposed to be treating you. I know God is able. Your wife she don't even want to look at you. She look at you and say, you make me sick. I know God is able. I know he's able. And look what Daniel said. Daniel said, hey, he said, it's all right. It's all right. my God delivered me. He sent an angel. He sent, in fact, I'm put a little bit, put this, use my sanctified imagination. I can do that every now and again. He said, I had a good night's sleep. Said, my God sent an angel, and the angel shut the mouths of the lions. Now, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, he had to throw him into the lion's den because that law is immutable. That law could not be changed. So he had to throw him into the lion's den. But if the lions don't eat you, I can bring you out. Amen. So the king brought him out. And then the king took the men who conspired against Daniel. And the Bible said he threw them and their families in. Husbands, I got a lot of men who here, some of whom I might not see anytime soon. I'm so happy y'all came. But I'm going to tell you, you're accountable. You're the head of that house. You're either a good head or you're a bad head. But you're the head of that house. And when things go well, I know you're the first one to step up and say, boy, yeah, I'm a show enough. Yeah, I did this and I did that. And I know when things go south, you're the first one to say, hey, it's a 50-50 deal. You know, hey, she got a part in this. Well, she didn't 5 minutes ago when I was talking about how good everything was going. Husbands, we have the privilege. We have the privilege. God says he who finds a wife, not a girlfriend, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and has favor with God. That means that woman sitting there next to you, she's a personal favor from God to you. What you going to do with a personal favor from God? How you going to treat a personal favor from God? If I gave you a check for $500, you'd be running right behind. Hey, my pastor, Will, you're the nicest guy. God gave you something way better. He gave you a help meet. In closing, he threw the people into the lion's den. And it's obvious that the lions did not eat Daniel because they weren't hungry. Because the Bible says before those folks hit the bottom of the pit, the lions ate them, crushed their bones and ate them. So it was a supernatural act of God to shut the mouths of the lions. And then the last thing, after Darius threw those folks into the lion's den, we talk about Darius's decree, verses 25 through 27. Darius's decree, King Darius's decree. Darius decrees the good news. Now, I need your attention because I want you to listen to what the king is saying. Listen to what King Darius is saying. King Darius wrote in verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men. Now skip down from there. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people. This is for everybody. It's not just for folks here at Good Shepherd. This is for everybody. This is folks listening on the internet. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. The king made a decree. The king said, serve Daniel's God. He said, all men, all women, serve Daniel's God because he's the only true and living God. You got, everybody's got lords plenty and gods many, fake gods all over the world. But he says, serve the God of Daniel because he's the only one who's alive. He's the only one that when you pray to him, he can answer your prayers. He's not a piece of stone. He's not a statue. He's got legs. The Bible even makes joke about it. You're bowing down to a statue. Statue got legs, can't walk to you. Statue got arms, can't hold you. Statue got a mouth, can't talk to you. But God, the living God, the king said, he said, I want you to know that Daniel serves the one true and living God. And not only is he the living God, but he's steadfast.
He's steadfast. He's immovable. He's immutable. This God never changes. This is the same God that Adam was walking with in the garden. This God never changes. See, because if you got a God who, the Mormon church just now had, they had to change things, had to change the script just the other day. They said, now it's okay. You can only be married to one person. They thought you could be married to a whole bunch of people, but they had to change because their God changed every now and again. My God don't change. The king said, he's the living God. He's steadfast. His kingdom's going to last forever. He delivers and he rescues. He sets free the captives. He comes to your rescue because he got the feet. He comes on the wings of angels. He can come to your rescue when you need him. And he says, and he works signs and wonders because he just saw this God. He just saw what this God did with a man who was fed to the lions. And he slept all night long. The lions didn't touch him. I pulled him up. His God. Sets free, and he's rescues all who need to be rescued. And here's the last thing I'm going to say on that. That is according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, and it cannot be changed. God bless you. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. He's a living God. He's a merciful God. He's a God who seeks and saves that which is lost. Some of you have been playing church for a long, 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 long time. Some of you have actually convinced yourself that you really are a church person because you've been hanging around the church so long. Well, I want you to know I've been hanging around mechanics and car garages for a long time. I can't fix nothing. You got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And you got to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead in order so that you might be saved. Being baptized as a child, don't cut it. Having a mama and a daddy who are Christians and love you, don't cut it. Got a grandma who takes you to church, don't cut it. He says you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead so that you might be saved. That's good news, y'all. You don't have to go down and slay any dragons. You don't have to go down and chop down any trees. I want so badly to let you know it's a free gift. Jesus paid it all. All to him